You're catching the drift. Conservative talk, intelligent conversations on local, state, and national issues with Gary Wellings. Join in the conversation. And now, your host, Gary Wellings.
Hey, and welcome to another edition of the Drift Radio Show. Good to have you along, and coming to you live from our Hamburg studio. And it's good to be back. It's been a couple of weeks, and wow, what a couple of weeks. I keep telling myself I'm going to get in here and do more of this, but I just can't seem to find the time anymore, which is odd enough, right? You would think now I'd be able to do it whenever I want, but life goes on, as they say. So, well, we got a lot to talk about, and what we normally do on the Drift Radio Show is go over the news that we put on thedailydrift.com, and if you're not going there, you should, www.thedailydrift.com. It's the news you need to know, a nice news aggregate, conservative news aggregate. If you've been watching Drudge over the last year or so, you've seen how it's gone completely leftist, anti-presidential, anti-Trumpish. And I guess we'll find out come the fall, but allegedly there's been a silence. Matt Drudge sold the Drudge Report to somebody, a leftist group or somebody, and he can't say anything about it until fall. But that would explain why there's been a big change in the Drudge. It used to be my go-to page, but it's certainly not. And so what we've done since 2012 anyways, on the Daily Drift is try and do that news from across the globe and around the nation so that it's the news you don't get from the mainstream media, basically. And so we talk about all the good stuff, try to give you knowledge that the mainstream media is hiding from you and that sort of thing. So it's a good website, www.thedailydrift.com. And if you want to reach me, you want to try and get a link on that website, The Drift, The Daily Drift, please email me, gary@thedailydrift.com. And we'll see if I can get that link up there for you. Love having contributors. If you're an aspiring writer or pundit, let me know, and maybe we can hook you up too, especially if you have your own website. We can certainly put the links there. So it's a good website. I spend a little time doing it every day, and I'm doing it for you guys, basically. So we're going to get a friend of mine who's been dying to get on the podcast with me, and we're going to try and get him on the line here right now, as a matter of fact. Let's try. Okay, so we've got a good friend of mine, Mark Mitchell, on the horn today. He's going to be my guest on the show because he got hold of me and is as aggravated as many of us are about what's going on. And so, Mark, welcome to the Drift Radio Show.
Well, thanks for having me, Gary. I appreciate it.
Yeah, good to have you on. And, well, so you reached out to me, and before we started here, we were looking at, you know, what's aggravating you. And, of course, social media is my pleasure and my pain on a daily basis, right? Because we both end up on there, and you just said you're kind of aggravated, right? Go ahead and tell me what you're feeling.
Absolutely. And the reason I reached out, Gary, obviously, as I told you, is, you know, I'm a Facebook is pretty much one of my only social media outlets, other being a sports website. And I kind of use it as just keeping in touch with my friends. I don't use it as a platform, and I kind of like to keep that way. So I reached out to you, obviously, to have a voice to talk about things that aggravated me, because I didn't want to do it all over social media and turn off your friends and family members, and, you know, which, you know, that's what social media is good for, because you can't have a face-to-face discussion. So it happens over social media, and it turns into fights and nasty language and can have some real negative consequences. So reaching out to talk about what was aggravated was, you know, I see two perspectives in our current situation, right, that stand out pretty clearly. Is one, you know, you have a contingent of our population that believes that we should stay locked down for as long as it takes to save as many lives as possible at the risk of a certain level of economic and financial damage, which to them personally, they may have that opinion because financially they're fine. And they perhaps don't see the long-term effects, even in terms of death, of what, you know, economic collapse and financial ruin for persons
yeah.
can have.
Yeah. Now let me ask you, are you working from home or are you furloughed or laid off?
I am working from home. And oh, I did, okay. I took a 10% pay cut. So I do a half day on Fridays. So even though it is working from home, it's been working. I mean, right. there's been to do and I'm expected to be logged on into the system, able to be reached at a moment's notice. So, I mean, it is working.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. I'm working from home and thank my company for, some people have done the furloughs things. It hasn't affected me yet, but I expect to if the big three do not open up shortly.
Right.
Because I'm like you, I'm in the tier one auto. And so I haven't personally been affected yet. But it could happen at any time if we don't hurry up and open up. But I've got lots of friends and coworkers who have been furloughed or are furloughed. And, the unemployment with the federal thing is helping. But you know what? It's not the same. And it's hurting our companies because God bless our companies for taking care of us. But the bottom line is hurting our companies. And that's hurting the economy and everything else.
Well, and to that point, that's why I wanted to bring a voice, because my wife is a frontline worker. She's a registered nurse working a healthcare center that's doing COVID-19 patient treatments.
Okay. So, well, that's good. I did not know that your wife was in healthcare. So you can give us that perspective today, because I'm getting different things, right? I'm like a lot of people. You see the doctors and nurses doing their TikTok videos. I'm thinking, aren't you supposed to be too busy to be doing a TikTok video? And then I have other friends in the healthcare industry who are like, I just got laid off, man. We can't work. Our hospital's empty because we can't do elective surgeries and the normal stuff. And I'm thinking, what is going on? You tell us if your wife's working with COVID people, is it? I know we didn't overwhelm the system, right?
No, we didn't. And it's funny you mentioned that about the people in other healthcare facilities. She had to change jobs. She has been at her new job for a month and a half. Because of COVID-19, she had to leave a facility that was a medical rehabilitation facility that was it may wind up closing down because as beds empty, they were not allowed to take new patients due to the virus.
Yeah.
So her hours got cut. They were laying off nurses, and then they asked her to donate 2 weeks' pay. Because it's a nonprofit, and she said, no, I absolutely can't do that. In fact, I'm working half the hours I normally was, so I can't work half the hours and donate 2 weeks' pay. And so they just agreed to part ways. She, as a registered nurse, and these days you can find work all over the place. So she quickly found another job working in a center in Howell that does treat COVID-19 patients, and she's working literally now double shifts.
Right. Okay, So it is. There is still a lot of COVID activity going on.
Right. Correct.
Okay. So, I mean, and what is her perspective on it? Does she believe we should be locked down this whole time?
No, not at all. She has a similar perspective I do in the sense, and I mean, obviously she's, and it's a good perspective because she's front line, so she's at risk every single day, and absolutely believes that. You know, seeing one medical facility that could have been treating patients have to lay, her off. She had to leave that job because hours getting cut.
Yeah.
So it affected her personally in that perspective. So she's got both sides of it, right? She had to leave because her hours got cut in half. They couldn't take the new patients.
Yeah.
And then she goes to a facility that she's working double shifts. And it's not so much that they're overwhelmed. I don't want to give that impression because she'd be the first one to tell you that. And as you yourself have heard the stories that our medical facilities did not get overrun. Medical professionals are getting laid off left and right. Like I said, my wife came from one such place. And she's able to work double shifts because of the lack of willingness of other nurses to, be on the front line and work in a COVID-19 facility.
Right. So. Yeah, what's aggravating to me is, when I think of medical facilities and, I've had my ex-wife was elderly care, right? So she ran facilities. So I'm not unfamiliar with what goes on there. they are like kind of mini hospitals. I mean, it's not just a hotel, right? They literally have nurses and people on staff, and so they have these protocols and procedures. And I don't know what's going on completely. I had heard that all of our elderly care facilities were locking down, and I'm sure they were going full on with the protocols for cleaning, as you should. But shouldn't they be doing that in just about any facility? So it aggravates me that a facility like your wife was at that did other things beside COVID gets shut down because, oh, no, we can't take any more patients due to COVID. I'm thinking, what if I had a heart surgery scheduled or something, you know? Why are you shutting down all medical just to take care of COVID when people still have heart attacks, pneumonia, and other issues, you know, cancer?
And as I think you understand, Gary, those are numbers we'll probably never understand. It's been put out there. It's been suggested that, you know, a shutdown of facilities, centers, treatments will lead to other non-COVID-related deaths. And will we ever know what those are?
Yeah,
you know?
there was an interesting on Facebook somebody put out the other day just exactly what I was looking for. I think it was one of our state representatives, I think, actually found a website that had the math of number of heart attacks, number of pneumonia, number of cancer, all the deaths from 2019 by month, and compared them to 2020 by month. And you can see that COVID deaths are obviously quite large, but the heart attacks, the all the other things that people died of last year at the same time are way down, right? So are people just not dying because they didn't go to the hospital, or are they just counting those deaths as COVID this year?
Yes. Well, and that leads into what I brought up, you know, the two sides of the two perspectives. And the frustrating part of it was I see, you know, to have a perspective that I have on it relative to, you know, exercising personal liberty, letting our citizens make their own decisions to preserve our economic and financial stability, knowing it does bring some risk, without a doubt. Obviously, if we didn't social distance and we opened everything up, it will result in potentially more deaths. That's a given.
Yeah.
I disagree.
Yeah. I guess for me, I keep thinking, all right, I was good to see, because maybe people, if we had not shut down completely, maybe people wouldn't have taken the social distancing and everything else seriously. I think people do take it seriously now. And I think people can, we've got that option, right? If the masks work, then why are we shut down?
Absolutely right.
And if the masks don't work, why are you telling us to wear them? You know, you can't have it both ways. And it seems like the governor, for whatever reason, is trying to play both sides of the coin at the same time there, because you're forcing us to wear masks, but at the same time you're saying nothing will protect you, and so we can't open the shops and the restaurants, and it's the crazy hypocrisy, right? I can't go to Kohl's, but I can go to Walmart. Why? Because Walmart sells food. You know, if I owned a Kohl's right now, I'd be putting in a meat cooler and throwing some bologna in there, right? That's what I would do.
Anywhere that sells, many of the places sell food, as you well know, sell alcohol and sick and lottery tickets.
Yeah, but exactly, right? I can go out and buy a lottery. I can walk into the gas station, buy a candy bar. I just walked into CVS and bought some stuff. I wore a mask, you know, because I assume that they want me to. I don't worry about me. I really don't. I don't know if I've had it or not. You know, part of me feels like that thing I had in February might have been it. But I do it for the other people. I don't want them to feel uncomfortable. You know what I mean? Sure. If I knew for sure that I had already had it and had the antigens in my body, I wouldn't be wearing a mask right now. I would proudly proclaim to everybody, I'm a survivor. I had it. I'm good. I'm immune. You're not going to get it from me. We're good. You know, I'd get a t-shirt made, man.
Right.
I'd get a t-shirt. I survived COVID. You know, maybe that's it. Well, there you go, right? They're going to put armbands or something. If you don't take the test and get the vaccine, they're going to put an armband on you anyways, right?
Sure. And that's a lead into the idea, too. When have we ever quarantined healthy people?
Yes. Yeah, that's such a good point. Because you know what? That is the difference, right? You quarantine sick people. Don't quarantine the healthy people. Now, old people, compromised immune system people, maybe. These are the people that need to be worrying about. The rest of us, you know what? Get out. Take your chance. I'm in my mid-50s. I have that 20% chance of dying if I get it, I guess. But you know what? Combine that with the actual chance of getting it, it's pretty slim for me, you know? And I'm a healthy guy. I wash my hands, and I keep my sanitizer in the car, and I do all the things that I'm supposed to do that any normal person who's got a little common sense would do in this situation. But leave that to me. Don't close all my opportunities. I want to go out and have dinner, dude, so bad right now. I just want to, the first place it opens, I don't care if they're legally open or not, I'm going to be there. I'll wait in line. I want a drink and I want dinner at a restaurant somewhere.
Right. But it's, you know, and you think about it too, I think we have enough empirical evidence with the coronavirus just as we've gone on, you know, when you break down the demographics of it and who was affected by age and by medical condition, it's clear, and that it's been stated, that obviously the elderly and underlying conditions are the drivers of what may cause you to die from this.
Right. Right.
Now, even beyond that, you look over years of influenza, which obviously we have years and years of empirical data with a vaccine, with new vaccines, because it continues to mutate. But, you know, it is a flu. It's a virus. It's a flu. Yes, is it more serious than influenza? Without a doubt.
Well, it's more. It's certainly more contagious. I'll give them that. I think the data shows that. Until we know the full range, and I'm gonna let's remember, 59 million people had H1N1 right back the day. 59 million Americans ended up having. Don't ask me how they got that figure to be so, but I guess it's good data, right? 59 million. If we don't have 59 million already with COVID who have gotten it and passed it and didn't have any problems, didn't even go to the doctor for it, I'm betting we've got to be, you know, 30, 40 million people. When you take that and then add the death figures up and do the math, I don't think it's going to be any more dangerous than the flu, frankly.
You know? Correct. And you've seen the video, obviously, the two doctors.
Yes. Yes. Right. Which keeps getting deleted from YouTube, right? You want to talk about censorship.
Exactly right. Yeah, there's the part of my aggravation.
Yeah.
And, you know, the fact that they're, you know, everything they said, and I am not a doctor, I'm not a medical professional, but these are two doctors who run medical centers, and I like the fact that in those videos they spoke solely about, this is not a perspective, it's not an op-ed, this is our data.
Yeah.
Our medical centers. And they said, you conclude that this will have a death rate, and they extrapolated from, you know, the number of deaths versus, you know, the number of reported cases, and then what you can expect that from the general population. And it turns out to be a 0.1 or 0.2% death rate, considering the entire population, which is just flu.
Yep. Yeah, I don't want to downgrade it and make people think, oh, Gary doesn't, he thinks it's a hoax. No, it's not a hoax. I understand. It's there. It's more contagious than the flu. Is it more deadly than the flu? I'm not betting that it is, you know. But we've done more than we should have. I mean, shutting down this, Gretchen Whitmer, I think the whole idea of the shutdown was to keep flatten the curve and keep the hospitals from overwhelmed. And now, doesn't it seem to you that at goalposts has shifted? It's no longer just flattening the curve to keep the hospitals from being overwhelmed. Now it's, we want to make sure nobody gets it, nobody dies of it.
Beaumont Hospitals, our largest medical system in Detroit, is laying off doctors and nurses.
Yeah, the Wayne County. Well, now I heard they just started opening the Wayne one that they had shut down for a few weeks is now starting to open back up again, which is a good sign, right?
You're literally closing, like we discussed earlier. Your actions have caused medical facilities who could treat patients to close.
Yeah.
That, to me, right there, says you went too far.
Yeah, and who can't see that? I mean, I don't feel like I'm putting the tinfoil hat on when I say, are you people trying to destroy our private healthcare system. Is that what is behind all this? You know, did Joe Biden meet with Governor Whitmer up in, was it Lexington, Michigan, and tell her, destroy the economy, destroy your healthcare system, do whatever you got to do over the next few months so that we can get elected as Democrats and go to single payer and have the government run everything? I know I'm putting the tinfoil on, right? But somebody is not using, what data is she using and what common sense are you using when outstate Michigan, away from the big centers of Flint and Detroit, you've got hospitals closing? Will they recover? Will they even reopen?
Right.
You know, is this their excuse to institute a government health care plan? Oh, we're going to have to put a government hospital up there because nobody's got a private one anymore.
Well, and you've seen, if you've seen the map, Gary, of the, you know, a density map with a color chart of all the counties in Michigan, to your point, you got Wayne and Oakland County and Genesee County. And then outside that, so you've shut down the whole state. And I think I just saw yesterday the last county in Michigan finally recorded one official case.
Yeah, so every county in Michigan now has one, at least one case?
Right.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, because they're saying, I just saw an article yesterday that half the counties in the country have not even had one case yet.
Right.
I'm thinking, why are those counties and states shut down?
Correct.
You know, I think it was, is it North Dakota where they didn't shut down, the governor of North Dakota, Nome, whatever her name is?
I believe so. I believe you're right. Yeah.
All right. And so
back up.
Yeah. If you don't have anything, and well, that's the beauty of being, you know, a republic. We have 50 different states. Let each state do it differently. I understand Cuomo and New York have some issues. I got a buddy who I had on the last podcast. Pat was in upstate New York, and he didn't have the same problems, but they weren't as good as, like, upstate Michigan, right? So it is interesting. I'm glad you're on the same page as me anyways, because I'm in that book. I'm a firm believer that, you know what, let's get our businesses back to work. Keep your hand sanitizer going. Wash your hands. Wear a mask if you're in a crowd. You know, let the restaurants open back up, but let's go slow. You know, give them 25%, 50%, whatever. Get them open. Because you know what? I've got a brother in that fast food business, and he's been hurting. He's surviving, but he's hurting, right? Because at least he's still got his drive-through stuff.
Right.
But some of your favorite local restaurants may not make it back. You know, even if she said tomorrow open back up, but 25%, they may not survive.
Well, one of the ones I saw, and we don't, they're not big here in Michigan, but I believe there's one Fountain Walk in there in Novi, Punch Bowl Social, done.
Really? Oh, that's too bad.
Now, and you don't see a lot of them, but if you've ever been to one, they're big places. And, you know, so big places, a lot of customers, a lot of revenue. I mean, so it's definitely big business, a national chain, and they're done.
Yeah, and those are the, you know, a big place like that, too, is the kind of place that says, all right, I can do 50% of my tables, you know, and stay afloat, yeah, at least temporarily, right? Why wouldn't you? It just drives me insane. I literally, we've put ourselves into 14% unemployment in a space of 45 days from virtually no unemployment. You know, when they say 3.5% is virtually non-existent unemployment, right? But right now we're at 14, probably going to 20, unless we start opening things back up.
Right. And like you, I am not a tinfoil hat wearing conspiracy theorist in any way at all. But, you know, you see some of the videos, you see the plandemic video that I'm.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like I said, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but you hear a lot of things that you can call them lies if you want. You can say they're illogical, I guess, but it certainly presents a point of view that seems plausible.
Right. Yeah, I that plandemic video, Markovitz, whatever that lady, the doctor lady, the research lady. Now, granted, I'm not going to say she's perfect and a saint or anything else, because even in that video, there are statements that she makes that makes you go, I know that's a lie, right? I don't know where you're picking that up from, Lay. But I've seen enough other evidence, you know, and this is where I'm proud to put on my tinfoil when it comes to Bill Gates and Anthony Fauci, because you know what? Something with that guy just stinks. He's been, if nothing else, he has been wrong so many times since January that nobody should be looking at him and saying, oh, yeah, he's the expert. We should listen to him. When you said we don't need to worry about it, well, then we need to worry about it. No, you don't need to wear a mask. Yes, you should be wearing masks. Hey, come on, Fauci. You're the expert with 40 years in the field. You think statistically you'd be right more than half the time. Right?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, it's crazy. So maybe we'll get into that the second half of the show anyways, but I want to see, what do you think? We heard today the big three is going back on the 18th in Michigan. Is that what you heard?
Correct. Yep.
Okay, so if they're opening up the 18th, I got to imagine most of our tier ones and tier twos will be up before, during, or after that opening of the big three. So that's going to happen. I haven't been told when we're going back yet, but I'm actually looking for. How are you dealing with it? Do you like it or you do like it?
I want to get back to work. I do not like the work from home situation. It's just, and as I said, I have perspective where like it's not affecting me financially at all, and I do not like the lockdown.
Right.
And I'm not affected financially.
Yeah, I can tell you this. For me, I always thought, you know, that was my dream job. I want to find that job where I can work from home. Right? And after 6 weeks of this or whatever, I'm thinking, no, I've got to have an office to escape to. It's funny how your perspective changes, right? All of a sudden, my home, I love my house, I love my home, but now it's my cage. And I want to get out of here, man. I'm ready to go back to work. Send me to work. I miss the people. I miss the talking. I miss going and drinking that lousy coffee in the kitchen area. You know, I miss all that stupid stuff.
I think me more than anything, Gary. Yeah, like I said, it's just movement.
Yeah,
movement out, around, change. You know.
I think it takes a mental effect on you, a mental toll, too, because there are a number of times I've got a good reason to go to the store for something that I need. You know, it's essential. And I think to myself, I really don't want to go out and put on my mask and go to the store and deal with the people, you know. And I'm thinking, slap yourself, right? Get out in the car and get out there and buy that, you know. What are you thinking? What are you holding back? So even a guy like me can fall into that mental, I don't even know what to call it, man. It's something it's insidious the way it creeps up on you. And I imagine there are people who aren't as strong-willed that, you know, now no longer want to leave their homes.
Well, it's, I saw, and I haven't found it. I wanted to find it and send it to you. It was a Charlie Brown meme, and it shows Charlie Brown and Snoopy sitting on the wall, you know, like their discussion wall, facing away from the viewer. And Charlie Brown's little voice bubble says, if locking down saves just one life, and Snoopy's little voice bubble says, if locking down causes just one suicide.
Bingo! Bingo, dude! That is, if you find that, send that to me.
Yeah.
Because that is absolutely perfect. You know, if Whitmer is trying to save every last life by locking down, how many people are dying of a heart attack or cancer or something else because they didn't go out and get their checkup or do their next visit or whatever? How many people have died of suicide, or how many people may have killed their spouse or something, somebody in the home, something bad happened? You know, at what point did you destroy an entire economy? You know, my favorite hashtag for Gretchen Whitmer is Whitmer lies and Michigan's economy dies, you know, because I think she's lying completely about the data. I have no idea what she's using to make the decisions that she's making. There's no reason not to open up certain parts of Michigan, period.
Absolutely. And, well, you've seen the data. I think as of today, we're at 73,000 deaths nationwide.
Yes. And you know what? But let's qualify that. Because every time I look at that 72,000 and I listen to what the CDC said and what they told our own U.S. senator, who was a doctor, he got the paperwork from the CDC that said, if there's anybody, even if the test does not show or you haven't tested somebody, you can call them COVID death related because of that, right? And I'm not going to get into the numbers. It's 13,000, 39,000, whatever it is. If it's coming flat out and we've got a CDC official on and Dr. Birx too saying, if we think it's COVID, we're calling it COVID, right? I think the 72,000 is double. I think it's probably half of that, honestly. Half to three quarters of that number is probably more accurate than calling it 72,000.
And you can call it anecdotal. You can call it a lie. I have seen stuff come through on my Facebook feed that was shared about someone had an elderly relative, parent, had an underlying health condition, and that they had been, for lack of a better term, dying of for years, finally passed away, but they tested positive or had symptoms of COVID-19, and they called it that. And I think it was lung cancer was the last one I saw.
Yeah. So here's lung cancer patient. Nobody's going to survive the lung cancer, right? You're going down one way or the other.
Right. And it's a lung cancer patient who then catches the virus and it's called a COVID-19 death. And you touched on it earlier. That so you look at the deaths and the breakdown, and the deaths per month nationwide ran about 55,000 per month, 55, 57 per month over the course of the entire year. And as you touched on, if you look at the graph today, you've got deaths attributed to COVID-19, and deaths attributed to everything else are down.
Right. Right. You know, and that's what's driving me crazy. That's what makes me think, am I the crazy one? Am I nutty for putting on the tinfoil and believing that this is somehow being scammed or worked? I'm not saying it's fake, but somebody is certainly conflating, inflating, whatever they're doing, massaging the data to make it look different. And, you know, I think the biggest thing is we haven't had a giant run of Kroger workers dying, of Costco workers dying, of Walmart workers dying. And they're exposed every day to hundreds, if not thousands, of people. If that's being the case, something's wrong, right? We should have thousands of people who work at Walmart, Costco, and Kroger dying because they're exposed every day to this wretched virus.
Well, I'll give you one more thing. I got three kids at home, all college kids, who are, of course, at home now. And call it anecdotal, call me a liar. Two of my kids work at Kroger.
Oh, they do? Okay.
Work all the time. And I have a nurse who's in a COVID facility. And so I got three family members who are frontline workers. And no one has caught the virus that we are aware of.
Right. Yeah, and now have they had has your wife, being in the field, has she had a test, like the blood test or anything?
Yes, she has been tested, yep.
And she has no antibodies?
That I don't know. I just know that she wasn't feeling well one day, and so they gave her a test, and she was negative. So.
Okay, so she doesn't have it, which means she's still susceptible to get it. She doesn't even... She's working, she's exposed, and still hasn't caught it. Now, how crazy is that? If you're a frontline nurse, you don't have any immunity, you're exposed every day, and you still haven't got it, God bless. She's obviously doing the protocols properly, for sure, you know?
You know, it gets to and where I was going with that, obviously, is relative to the numbers. And we just saw another thing today. That the U.S. has 4% of the entire world's population, and we have 28% of the reported COVID deaths.
Which seems a little odd, doesn't it?
Right. Now, you can either, that says one of two things. Either our medical professionals and facilities are woefully inadequate, which I don't believe, or somebody's playing with the numbers.
Yeah.
Because there's no other explanation. That's your two choices.
Yeah. Yeah, what did I see? I thought I heard that we've tested 8 million people here in the U.S., which is huge compared to the rest of the world, right? Because nobody else has done those kind of numbers. And they're saying now we're doing like 300,000 a day at this rate of testing people, which is great. I'm all up for the testing. But my thought is, what test are you giving? You know, if it's an antigen test that shows, yes, you don't have it now, but you had it at some point in the last 3 months, 6 months, whatever, one thing. And I'm not a doctor, so if somebody wants to email me and say, Gary, you're wrong, please let me know. I'll be happy to have you correct me. But I'm assuming that when you take the swab, the nasal swab, that's checking to see if you have it right now or not. It's not checking to see if you have antibodies. It's checking to see if you have the actual live germs in you.
Right.
And in that case, you are right now infected. It's not that you weren't. So, you know, how many of us, I still believe, my thought goes back that this thing got to the United States way back in November, December, and has already burned through a big chunk of the population. I mean, well, the only way to really know that is to do the antigen test, and hopefully quick enough before the antigens go away, because you never know how long they're going to be there, right?
Okay, well, here's an interesting point, and I don't know if it's right. It's just something I heard. It was from just a speech given or whatever, that the author date of the COVID economic stimulus bill was January 24th.
I heard that as well. I heard that as well, and I haven't been able to confirm it. If you find that link, please email that to me or text it to me, whatever, because I want to go back and visit that, because, again, it wouldn't be a Gary, it wouldn't be the Drift radio show without putting the tin foil on, right?
Sure.
I loves me a good conspiracy.
But I mean, it should be easy to find, right?
You would think, yes. So I'm glad you brought that up. If you find it before I do, please email it to me and I'll put the link up, because I want to know if that's true, because that really strikes you as odd that, you know what?
Very telling.
Yeah, and who was, I want to know who the authors were. And were they Republicans? Were they Democrats? Did this come as something out of the Trump administration? I don't know, but I'd like to know more about that. That's news. That's the kind of stuff I want to turn on Fox or MSNBC or CNN and see. But God forbid you'll never see that story, right?
No, and like I said, that to me is very telling. We weren't even talking about it on January 24th, and yet there's a stimulus bill being authored.
That's good. I'm going to look that up tonight. I'll start digging for that information. That's a great one to come out.
Because of my recollection, and that's right about the time we started just hearing about it in China.
Yeah.
If I remember correctly, right?
Yeah. So, yeah, all right. Well, we've kind of COVIDed that one to death. I want to move on to something that I think you probably have a pretty strong opinion on. General Flynn, charges were dropped by the DOJ yesterday. We all kind of knew, we're hoping anyways, that it was coming, that it should have happened. But it even caught me by surprise. I went out and watered some plants and came back in, and there it was on the news. And you know what? I poured a drink. I was celebrating because I'm like, yes, good for the general. You know, this guy has been screwed over so badly, lost everything, went bankrupt, and it pled. What drives me crazy now when I watch CNN or MSNBC or even Fox, you know, you get these pundits who say, well, it doesn't matter where they dropped it, he pleaded guilty. He had no choice but to plead guilty. I want to see him sit in the Senate and testify, the only reason I pleaded guilty is because they said if I didn't, they would attack my son.
Right.
You know, I want to see that. I want to see that on the news. I want it to be all over the news. And it makes you wonder. I thought to myself, are the Democrats even going to let him? Do they not want him to show up in the Senate or the House to talk?
Well, and it's funny, too, because I saw the other side of it, like, oh, well, of course they dropped the charges, you know. That's Trump at play there.
Exactly. They want to say it's, but you know what? You got to love Barr, dude.
Mm-hmm.
Barr is just right on the money every time, following the law. He brought in a third-party guy, went through. That's the guy that told him he's following the law. Now, you know the Democrats for them at this point, they got to be running scared because they know what's coming down the pipe, right? With Durham investigation, I think that's getting close. I'm hoping we see that by late summer at the latest, you know?
And you know, and not to go back to COVID, but I mean, again, you know, not to put on the tinfoil, but it when you look at it, I think objectively, and you say, see everything that we've talked about from a third party, it's like, does it look like it's possible it's another just effort to soil Trump's reputation and his administration before November comes along?
Right. Yeah. I mean, for me, that's the way I look at it. And oddly enough, and this is probably the good thing, because I think this is where the Democrats are like constantly, they're like Keystone Cops. They keep pushing this, thinking that the American people are going to turn on Trump. It's reached such a level of incompetence on their part, they can't even lie properly. The average Joe is looking at what's being done by the Democrats and saying, yeah, I'm not buying that. And I'm just not buying it. I'm going to vote Trump. I don't have any doubt that Trump will be reelected. I really don't. He's on par. We've got God with us, the whole nine yards. Trump will be reelected. My big concern and my big hope and my prayers are for the fact that we get the House back, because we can't have another 2 years of just utter gobbledygook and nonsense coming from the Democrats. We got nothing done these last 2 years.
Well, it's funny from my personal perspective, and the people I talk to, and I in my family, I have a lot of Democrats, and that's fine. You know, it's obviously your vote is your own. You know, vote any way you want for any reason you want. I've always said, but I get the perspective that they don't see any way Trump can win possibly. Impeachment. And how he's handled the coronavirus. And I come from the other perspective of, I said, well, he won in 2016 because people were voting against Hillary in large part, right? Yeah. I think we would agree on that. I don't think anybody was a really just like diehard Trump supporter in 2016. It was a vote against Hillary for those of us who voted, you know, for Trump. I don't think he's going to lose any of those voters, for sure.
No. You're still going to get the Trump fans, right?
Right. You've seen obviously movements in the black community.
Oh yeah, I mean that's the thing, right? We're now showing regular polling, and this is the polling run by the liberals, is now showing 30% voter approval in the black community for Donald Trump. They always said if the Democrats lost 8% to the Republicans in the black community, they would lose elections. And now you're talking 30%, and the Hispanic is tracking the same way.
Right. So I don't, you know, I just, and I'm not going to argue with their family, friends, and relatives, and I'm not going to argue with them, and I'm not going to lie, I do have two personal bets made with two close family members who said that they didn't see any way Trump could win.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. That's somebody with a head.
I said them
up the anus. It's just, if you don't think Trump has any chance of winning, you are as out of your mind as possible, you know?
So, and it's an interesting perspective because I said, okay, well then bet me X number of dollars. And it wasn't large. But it was not $10.
Right.
Enough to make you think, And they're like, well, and I'm like, see, you say you have confidence, there's no way he can win, but you won't bet X dollars on it.
Right. Put your money where your mouth is.
Oh, you didn't say it was chance. You said there's no way he can win. So why would you not bet on him losing? And the point was just to make the point that you don't really have confidence. You say that, but you don't really believe it.
Yeah, that's cognitive dissonance at its best, right? How many people, and I don't know that it's, I bet you if you asked a psychologist or a psychiatrist, they would say, I've never seen so much cognitive dissonance coming through my door as I do in the last few years. Because people have just, they're not using common sense and reading the data in the most obvious fashion. You're correct. Still pushing for these Democrats and saying Trump is a horrible person and that he's only... The biggest one is always when people say Trump's in it for himself. He's just a selfish guy. He's a greedy capitalist, whatever. And I'm thinking, the guy's not taking his salary. He's right. Got a $400,000 a year salary. He's donating. He's doing this for a dollar because they make him take the dollar.
Right.
You know? And I think to myself, you people are insane. The Trump, what do we call it? Trump derangement syndrome, right? TDS. I said something to someone the other day and they didn't understand what it was. I'm like, oh man, you don't even know how, you don't even know the disease you got, man.
Right. So much we've talked about too in the difference between, you know, using data, you know, arguing with data and stock market and economy versus arguing with emotion.
Yeah.
He's a bad guy. Hey, you know what? Kennedy was no saint either.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, without a doubt.
Democratic presidential, presidents, right?
Yep. Yep.
And right so,
Yeah. So let's move on. So Flynn gets acquitted, or not, he's not acquitted. The charges are being dropped because the FBI, the DOJ, Attorney General says there's just nothing there. We can't. This should never have gone forward. That's done, right?
Yep.
Big strike against the Democrats and this whole Russian collusion narrative right down the crapper. The other was these transcripts from early investigations into the Russian collusion charge that Adam Schiff has been holding on to, hasn't been letting go, wouldn't release. And my new favorite guy in the Trump administration, I've liked him since day one, Richard Grenell, who was our German ambassador for the first couple of years of the Trump administration. You know, are you familiar with Richard?
No, I'm not. Okay. I mean, I know his name, but
you'd know him if you saw his face. So yeah. He's gay. I don't know if he's the first gay ambassador, but he's pretty high ranking to get Germany, right? But you can't tell. He doesn't flash that he's gay or anything else, but he's a solid conservative and has done a great job representing the U.S. in dealing with NATO and Europe and Western Europe, the Union, the whole nine yards while he's been over there. So impressed me, obviously so impressed Donald Trump that he's now the acting director of national intelligence. And when that move got made, I went, that's interesting. You know, I like what he did. He was very successful as the ambassador to Germany. What's he going to do? Well, this guy has got more testosterone than any man alive because he came in and just yesterday, they're saying now, he walked into the attorney general's office with a whole bunch of paperwork. He told Adam Schiff, you release those transcripts or I'm going to release them. And so Schiff had no... Now, my question is Schiff giving us everything we need? I don't trust him to be giving me anything, right?
Yeah.
But the release now. So Richard Grenell is just like a superstar. This is a guy I hope runs for president at some point down the road because you want the first gay president, it needs to be Richard Grenell, you know, if it's not Barack Obama. I'll put my tinfoil right out for everyone to see. But... I think I did that show years ago about the talk of Barack Obama being gay and Michelle Obama actually being a man. Let's not go there. That's a whole show unto that's a whole show unto itself, and I'd love to do it because it'd be a lot of fun. But I'm just ecstatic. Yesterday was just the greatest of days. What went under the radar was Chris Christie got good news on his court case too in Bridgegate.
So I didn't see.
He walked away. I'll have to put a link on. I'll try and get one up. It's kind of went unnoticed, you know. But it was a big win for another conservative guy. Won a big court case, Chris Christie, who I kind of like. I've had my ups and downs with Chris Christie. There's things I didn't like about him, but you know, in the end, I kind of like him. All in all, he's not a perfect Republican. He's kind of in a elitist in the whatever, go along to get along when he shouldn't be, but I like Chris Christie. So that came out good yesterday. The lady down in Texas, the salon owner, governor, the attorney general of Texas, the governor of Texas, and the Supreme Court of Texas all told that judge to release that salon owner in Texas because she wouldn't apologize. You saw that one, right?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, so that's huge. Yeah. It was a good yesterday was a good day. It was the first day in a long time I felt really good thinking about national news. What do you think? Give me this take, honest take on it. So, elections, what are we, 4 months away now?
Correct. Yeah.
Who's your congressperson? You're in West Oakland, right?
West Oakland. So Congress is
Slotkin.
Slotkin, yes.
Yeah, Slotkin's yours. So she's mine too. What do you think? I know you're not going to vote for her.
No. It's John James is I think who's challenging for that seat. Correct.
No, John James is Senate going up against Gary Peters.
Gary Peters, yeah.
Yeah. Our Republicans going up for that are Mike Detmer.
Detmer, yes.
Yeah, correct. Mike Detmer. B is Alan Hoover. I had Alan Hoover on the show here, I don't know, a couple months back. I liked Alan Hoover. Really nice guy, a Marine, still a Marine. He's in the National Guard now, I think. Really good guy with great ideas. And we'll probably have to reach out and try and get him back on the show again, too. And then Mike Detmer, I seem to like where he stands on most of his stuff. There's a Paul Jung, I think, is another guy that I don't trust because he's kind of a carpetbagger, right?
Yep.
Somebody sent him in here, and I don't know that I trust that guy. But John James I like. I'm glad he's running against Peters. I think he's got a shot at it. I'm not happy with his campaign team because I don't think he's spending enough time in Detroit and Wayne County and even Washtenaw County like he should.
Agreed. And everything, it seems that everything I see is the anti-John James ads. And so I'm curious as to why he hasn't, I guess, taken a stronger position in the advertising, the media.
Yeah, I've seen a few lately. But he's definitely being outspent at this point by Gary Peters. And I'm hoping that's just, he's going to wait until September or August, you know, to really fire up his advertising. I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. But I'm hoping John James wins this. He should be able to beat Gary Peters.
I think so too. And I mean, obviously it's all, you know, you see the media ads and it's one side attacking the other. Right.
Yeah.
So, we're in the middle.
Yeah, I can tell you this. For this time around, I am going to vote, and I've never done this in my life. I've never pulled the straight ticket lever ever in my life. I think in 2020, I'm just going to pull the straight Republican ticket.
Gary, I'm not kidding you. I would, same thing. I have never done that. I've been, for the most part, a conscience voter for most of my life. Not a big fan of a strict two-party system. I voted for Ross Perot twice. You know, the independent and libertarian vote. But then 2016 happened, and I saw Hillary and thought, there is no way. I have one vote, and I will do anything to keep her out of office, the office of president. And voted for Trump for strictly that reason.
Yeah. Yeah.
With a little bit of, well, I'll say not strictly, because I do like the idea. Same with Perot. Here's a businessman. The government of the United States is the biggest business in the entire world. Right?
Yep.
So,
yeah, I was a Ross Perot fan until he quit. And I understand why he quit. You know, right. I felt kind of betrayed. Probably like a lot of Bernie supporters feel right
sure.
now.
Right.
Probably exactly. Well, it'll be interesting. You know, what do you think? So Joe Biden's going to walk into, I don't know if they're going to do the virtual convention or whatever. They're sticking with Biden at this point. Who do you think VP pick is for him?
Who?
Tough one, right?
Warren or Gresham Whitmer?
I think obviously it will be a woman. My thought was that he was going to go for a woman of color because he's dying to try and get back the African-American vote, right? So he's going to try and find. And I was thinking, is there Hispanic? You know, is there an African-American? And I can't even really think. Stacey Abrams, there's just no way he could pick her.
No, no, no. Right.
You know, she is such a failure. She is so... she's just not likable in the least. She just rubs everybody the wrong way. I think she even rubs Democrats the wrong way. So that eliminates Stacey Abrams. So that does give you an Elizabeth Warren, a Gretchen Whitmer. How about Kamala Harris? I can't see him picking Kamala either. Yeah, I think that's a definite fail with Kamala Harris.
She just never showed enough strength. I mean, you can dislike or dislike Elizabeth Warren, but definitely showed strength in politics, right?
Right. I don't think. Yeah, so the two that I would always fall back to, because I don't really put a lot of faith in Gretchen Whitmer, because I think he even talked to her, was to win Michigan. Michigan is so mad at her right now. She knows it. Everybody knows it. You can spin it any way you want. But when you lock down Lansing with that gridlock operation, people despise her. She has not carried this off well. And it went completely the way she didn't. So I'm counting Whitmer out of it. But there's only one African-American woman that I could think of that makes sense for Joe Biden. And it's got its own baggage, if you ask me. But I can see Democrats saying, we need Michelle Obama, right? I say the same thing, dude. Michelle Obama is not going to help them. But I think a lot of Democrats don't think that way. You know, the ones I see on Facebook, and I've lost a couple of good friends recently on Facebook because they were just so Trump derangement syndrome. I know that's what they're thinking. I know in their mind thinking, yeah, we can win with Michelle Obama and she'll take over the presidency once Joe dies, you know, or once Joe becomes incapacitated. And I'm thinking, do you really believe the American people are going to vote for Michelle Obama?
Now, will I say this? Do I believe that him choosing her as a VP could get him more votes over other candidate A, B, C?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. For sure. Absolutely. And I think that's what it comes down to. The other portion of this for me is, does the Queen reassert herself knowing that Joe is going to Arkansas in the next 12 months, right? Does he pick Hillary? Because she does bring in some pretty good voter bloc too. I don't know what that is, but there are people who still love her and would vote for her or vote for Joe knowing that she's the VP. So again, that gets some votes. I don't know if it gets as many as Michelle Obama, though.
I think Michelle Obama, because she doesn't have the dirt honor that Hillary has. And I mean, it's been, whether you believe it or not, there's people who will fight it in spite of it being out there. It's still out there. Michelle Obama doesn't have any dirt on her other than just
the fact that she's a man. I'm not saying that. Part of me believes that. Part of me is just laughing about it. Right.
Staff of 72 when no other first lady had staff of more than 12. You know, that sort of thing.
Yes, yes.
In the grand scheme of things, I won't call it petty because it's not petty. But in the grand scheme of things and government waste and spending, you know, is that really a big deal? Eh. Or from a scandal standpoint, not really. So she doesn't have the dirt on her, obviously, that Hillary has.
Right.
So I would think at this point, that maybe Hillary's ship has even sailed. To your point, will she get some votes? For sure.
Yeah. There are still. It would be interesting to see the real behind the scenes power structure of the Democratic Party as it sits today. You know,
for sure.
How much power does the Obama faction wield behind the scenes in the Democratic Party? How much power does Hillary and Bill still have behind the scenes in the Democratic Party? You know, I would love to be able to read the minds of the people who pull the strings for both of them, which would be your George Soros's, your Rothschilds, whoever, all those big world money powers that are obviously pulling the little puppet strings to the best of their ability. You know, who's the real power in the Democratic Party right now?
And to that point, Gary, I would, if I had to bet money, I think that's a no-brainer.
Who do you think?
Oh, I think it's Hillary. I think Clinton's still power.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah, I'm sure they're still awful powerful. No ifs, ands, or buts, because if nothing else, you've got the Arkansas side behind you, right? People just seem to disappear and die or whatever else if you cross the Clintons.
I think the Obama and that administration was, and again, here's me putting on my tinfoil hat, that was a nice little play by the Democrats. They got their guy in. They got somebody in to give him eight years of Democratic government. And now he's well paid. And now just move. Here you go, buddy. We took care of you. Get off the side.
Right. Well, you know, if she turns down, I think that proves exactly what you just said true.
Yes.
If Michelle Obama does not take a step forward in this and remains on the sidelines, that means they were just in it for the cash. They got their payout like Bernie. They're just going to hit the sidelines, and you'll never see much of them, you know, other than cursory speeches here and there. The other side of it, though, for me is, we'll go back to the Flynn. What's coming out of the Durham report? You know, what kind of culpability does the Obama administration have in this FBI, Russian collusion, dirty cop game that was happening with the DOJ and the FBI?
Well, and to the point I just made, I think relative to the people pulling the strings behind the Democratic machine, they'll be more than happy to let the Obamas take that one on the chin.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And it kind of makes you wonder, right? Politics makes dirty bedfellows. So who's in bed with who and who's releasing what and whatever else is going on. So very interesting. All right. Well, that hour went by quick, Mark. I'm glad I was able to get a hold of you. We'll have to do this. Hopefully the next time we do this, you can actually come over and we'll open a bottle of bourbon or something here. And we'll do it in studio because I worked hard to put a studio together here and now I don't use it at all.
Yeah, I saw the pictures. That look pretty nice.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, we'll do it again. Thank you so much, Mark Mitchell, guest today on the Drift Radio. And I appreciate you calling, man. And let me fade us out here, and then we'll call it a show. Hold on a second.
Thanks for having me, Gary. I appreciate it.
All right. Take care, Mark. Bye.
Take care.
Okay. So that's the end of another show, and I want to thank Mark for coming on. And if you'd like to maybe be on the podcast with me one of these times, email me gary@thedailydrift.com and get hold of me on Twitter and Facebook or wherever. But good to have you along for another one, and we'll see you next time. Take care.